Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, December the 30th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today of all of the events that are taking place around us so that we might be prepared for the time to come. We ask for your continued strength and guidance in all things. Give us that attitude of commitment that we will stay firm in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today I'd like to continue that article that we started in our last session, found in the National Review. As a matter of fact, I will start the article over from its beginning, so if you missed what we did, you would be able to get the entire thing. Also, let me inform you that we will be posting this article, along with the others that we have read from in the past few days, on our website, timewatchministries.net, and you can take a look at the Daily News or the Time Watch Daily column, and you'll find those articles there. You might read them, you might download them, etc., etc. Now, the article that we were looking at in our last session, we finished a few paragraphs of it. It was found in the National Review, and it was published on April the 3rd, 2019. The writer of the article is Doug Bandow. His last name is spelt B-A-N-D-O-W. That's Doug Bandow. And the title of the article is Moscow Snuffs Out Religious Liberty in Eastern Ukraine. The point that we were making in our last session is that you've been hearing quite a bit about Ukraine in the controversy over who messed around in the 2016 election that was held in the United States. At first, it was pretty much decided that it was Russia, and then Russia came up with this brilliant idea, they thought, to sidetrack the attention they were receiving and claim that it was indeed Ukraine and not Russia at all. But there is one other thing about Ukraine that is not being discussed at the moment. Indeed, there is something, the same thing about Moscow that is also not being discussed at the moment, which has direct relevance to all of you who might be listening. And so today's article deals with that. As I said before, it is found in the National Review, published April the 3rd, 2019. The writer of the article is Doug Bandow. And the title of the article is Moscow Snuffs Out Religious Liberty in Eastern Ukraine. Here's the article from the beginning. No surprise, the Soviet Union was one of the great religious persecutors. There's nothing more fearsome to totalitarian dictatorships than being challenged by those claiming loyalty to a transcendent realm that lies well beyond the political one. The collapse of the Bolshevik state freed the Russian people to worship as they felt led by God. Russia, the largest successor state, suffered a huge spiritual and moral vacuum and drew in once banned evangelizing faiths. Alas, that set up a clash with the Orthodox Church, which acted for many, including, it seems, Russian President Vladimir Putin, in claiming to embody Mother Russia. That has led to an increasingly repressive campaign against smaller, more vulnerable sects, which grow through proselytizing. Russia has effectively banned Jehovah's Witnesses, arresting, imprisoning, and torturing scores of believers and confiscating hundreds of millions of dollars in church property. Mormons, as well, have recently been arrested, though deported rather than imprisoned, and incidentally, in case you did not hear about the Jehovah's Witness ban, they seized 395 of their churches plus their headquarters. Continuing. However, persecution merged with politics even more brutally in eastern Ukraine, where Moscow backed local separatists. The U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom rated Russia a Tier 1 persecutor, warranting treatment as a country of particular concern. Russia represents a unique case, being the sole state to have not only continually intensified its repression of religious freedom since the USCIRF commenced monitoring it, but also to have expanded its repressive policies to the territory of a neighboring state by means of military invasion and occupation. Those policies, ranging from administrative harassment to arbitrary imprisonment of extrajudicial killing, are implemented in a fashion that is systematic, ongoing, and egregious. Many have suffered in Russia generally, in Chechnya and Dagestan, and in Crimea. The USCIRF explained that the Russian government views independent religious activity as a major threat to social and political stability, an approach inherent from the Soviet period. Groups must register, the government says. The government can regulate their activities. At the instigation of the Orthodox Church, the state treats blasphemy as a crime. Evangelism and worship by disfavored groups are treated as extremism and terrorism. And religious groups not affiliated with state-controlled organizations are treated with suspicion. The government, now nationalist rather than communist, treats the Orthodox Church as a de facto state church. Moreover, the USCIRF noted, in Russian-occupied parastates of eastern Ukraine, religious freedom is at the whim of armed militias not beholding to any legal authority. As war zones, the People's Republic at Donetsk and Luhansk remain heavily militarized war zones policed by parallel Ministry of State Security. Unsurprisingly, basic human rights, including freedom of religious beliefs, are under intense pressure in these territories. Churches must register, but no churches that are non-Orthodox or that belong to the Kiev Patriarch of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church have been approved. Members of non-favored denominations have been subject to arrest, torture, and murder. Churches were seized or destroyed, and parishioners were intimidated. Whatever Russia's justification for intervening in Ukraine, the suppression of freedom of conscience cannot be justified. The crimes promoted by Moscow are detailed in a new report, Religious Freedom at Gunpoint, Russian Terror in the Occupied Territories of Eastern Ukraine, from the Institute of Religious Freedom, underwritten by the Institute of Geopolitical Division and Mission Eurasia. The IRF found that abuses began as soon as pro-Russian separatists took control of Ukraine in April 2014. Anti-Semitic pamphlets first appeared. Then came kidnapping and illegal imprisonment, emotional abuse, physical torture, and even murders of unwelcome clergymen and believers of non-traditional denominations. The result is a real nightmare for local religious communities that did not experience such persecution even during the Soviet terror times. This was also accompanied by the seizure of churches and houses of worship, some of which were used as firing positions and barracks for military, mercenaries, and regular Russian troops. Ukraine has had a torture political existence as an independent nation, but it has respected freedom of conscience. In 2014, the Orthodox Church, both in Moscow and in Kiev, made up more than half of the religious organizations in both Donetsk and Luhansk. But there was an abundance of other faiths and churches. For the first time in decades, people enjoyed liberty in faith. However, that changed when the separatists took control. They sought to eliminate dissent, any hint of backing for the Kiev government. And they claimed that the Russian Orthodox Church had been oppressed, encouraging creation of an Orthodox state. The end result is that most churches and faith-based communities in the occupied territories of Donetsk and Luhansk regions, with the exception of Orthodox parishes of the Moscow Patriarch, are now forced to cease their religious activities or to significantly restrict them and to act in the underground. The persecution could hardly be worse. Houses of worship have been seized. Street gatherings are banned. Identification as a believer leads to additional punishment. Public evangelism is impossible. Literature cannot be distributed. Participation in common public activities, including hospital and prison chaplaincies, is barred. The separatists make few distinctions among those viewed as foreign and those who are native but non-orthodox. According to the IRF, both large and small religious communities in Eastern, first of all, evangelical Christians, Orthodox of the Kiev Patriarch, Greek Catholics, and Jehovah's Witnesses, are perceived by the separatists as a threat to their undivided arbitrary power. They are labeled sectarians, accused of extremism, and arrested. Jehovah's Witnesses, for instance, have been arrested and tortured. They have been prohibited from continuing their religious activities, and the church is effectively banned. The Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church also became an object of targeted attacks by the occupation authorities. Mormons faced particular animus because they were viewed as an American faith. Muslims also are persecuted. In Donetsk, authorities raided the mosque and confiscated prayer books and other religious literature, sealed the premises, and then took the imam and parishioners of the mosque to interrogation. Literature was banned. Muslim organizations were closed. Moreover, Baptists, Pentecostals, Charismatics, Adventists, and other evangelical Christians are experiencing the greatest oppression by the occupation authorities in eastern Ukraine. Evangelical ministers were subject to frequent illegal arrests, beatings, tortures, and even killings. The IRF interviewed Leonid Padun, senior bishop of the Ukrainian Christian Evangelical Church. He explained that since it can still be threatening for the believers' lives to come together for worship, the local religious communities have to do it secretly, without publicly announcing the place of their meetings. It is all the more dangerous to hold any street activities, to pray and preach the gospel publicly, or distribute Christian literature. However, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church might be the most victimized. From the IRF report, it says, from the very beginning of the Russian aggression, the bishops, priests, and believers of the UOC, of the Ukrainian Patriarch in general, pastoral care of believers in the armed forces of Ukraine, and humanitarian service to war-affected people were perceived by the separatist leaders as a direct threat to their power in eastern Ukraine. Because of intimidation, arrests, and threats of being shot by the Russian-backed militants, all bishops of the Ukrainian Patriarch gradually left the occupied region. Obviously, the crimes being committed in eastern Ukraine are many. The separatists have not stopped there, however. Again, from the report, the religious situation in the occupied territories of eastern Ukraine is further aggravated by the fact that the Russian-backed occupation authorities have begun to legalize their crimes against believers and religious communities, trying to hide them from the international community under the umbrella of legitimacy. The new authorities adopted so-called laws on religious activities and on combating extremism, which, like in Russia, have become instruments of terrorizing religious minorities, combating dissident, and any expression of opposition. The best that can be said is that persecution has ebbed. Nevertheless, according to the report, although the worst abuses have declined since 2015, Christian minorities have remained subject to raids, harassment, fines, and official slander. Information about the religious freedom and violations are difficult to obtain because communities fear reprisals for complaints to human rights and foreign news organizations. Religious persecution by Christians is rare. Most religious persecution is perpetrated by Muslim regimes and authoritarian or atheist governments, most notably those that are communist and formerly communist. Russia and its Ukrainian dependents, however, are persecuting in the name of the Christian Church. That makes their offenses even worse. How can Christians criticize governments of majority Muslim, Hindu, and Buddhist governments for persecuting Christians if regimes claim to represent Christianity are doing the same? As long as the U.S. and Europe are at odds with Russia over its annexation of Crimea and support for Ukrainian separatists, There is little they can do directly to improve religious liberty in the region. Nonetheless, Washington and Brussels should lose no opportunity to embarrass Moscow publicly for persecuting Christians in the name of Christianity. Although religious liberty cannot drive American foreign policy, U.S. officials should promote fundamental human freedoms when practical. Not in such. Now is the time for this to be done. Now, of course, what you see happening in Russia, and of course also what is happening in Crimea and in the Ukraine, is the beginning of that kind of persecution that you will see that will occur globally. We have been warned that there will come a time when there will be an insistence that the kind of Christianity that is embraced must be embraced by all. And when there are those who might stand against it and who might object to that kind of Christianity, they will be punished. They will be put in jail. They will be tortured. They will be killed. Now, you and I have been warned of this so many years ago. We see it over and over again in God's Word. And you and I need to understand that with all of the discussion that is taking place in the media with regard to Ukraine and whether or not they were involved in the 2016 election really is not the point here. The big issue here is you see the direction in which Russia is heading. And if you have not heard us before on this program, we have been making the point that the far-right evangelicals are in love with Vladimir Putin and the laws that he has passed. That is the kind of nation that they want the United States of America to be. A Christian nation that enforces Christianity. Now, that might sound very beautiful at first glance. The question, however, must be, what kind of Christianity is going to be enforced? And how will it be enforced? And for those who think that they will have the right to choose not to be a part of it, what kinds of punishments will be poured out? What we're seeing happening in Ukraine and Russia is a symbol, a template of exactly the direction in which the entire world will ultimately go. As it was in the past, those who decided to worship God based upon His word were persecuted and tortured and killed. This will be repeated, and you and I must be ready to stand firm. Now, God has said that if we stand with Him and we place our lives in His hand, He will be the protecting power in our lives. You and I need not fear if we stand with Him. For any promise that He has made has always been fulfilled. So today, as we look at what is happening in Russia and in Ukraine, and of course, as you have an opportunity to read this article for yourself that we will post on our website and also on the radio program, on the radio program's website, the radio station's website, you will be able to see for yourself the direction in which we are heading. And you will recognize for sure that all of what God has said in advance is coming to pass. The accuracy of God's promises, the accuracy of God's prophecies is without question. You and I must therefore be ready. The promises that He has made, as I said before, include the fact that He will protect those who stand with Him. So today He is calling you to stand with Him, to prepare yourself for the time to come, so that without fear and without doubt, you might demonstrate the faith that only He can give, so that as you walk each day, you will find the strength of knowing that whether or not you are brought into trials, God has promised to protect. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that You continue to inform us in advance. We thank You that You have made promises. We thank You that You are providing that protective arm so that we might be able to stand and that we fear not. Today we place ourselves again in Your care, asking that You would take us in hand and make the changes that are necessary in our lives so that we might walk according to Your will and ultimately walk with You in eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, December the 30th, 2019.